How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Lot of news to get into here today, as we have every Sunday. Of course, tomorrow is Raw. And presumably tomorrow, we're going to get an idea of what the top matches are for the WWE Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. Hell in a Cell is coming up in 3 weeks now, and still no main event. As we talked about last week on the show, our presumption was that Brock Lesnar was going to be headlining the show against John Cena, but guess what? That's not happening. And so tomorrow, they got to come up with something resembling a main event. What that's going to be, I don't know. But I guess we're going to find out tomorrow. There are a lot of different options. The most likely scenario is that they are going to announce that that Dean Ambrose and John Cena, who both want to get their hands on Seth Rollins, the two of them are going to have a match at Hell in a Cell. It's going to be the opener. And the winner of that match will then go on to the main event where they will face Seth Rollins. And the loser will go on to face Randy Orton. That is looking to be the main event of the show. Double main event, two Hell in a Cell matches. One with most likely Cena versus Randy Orton, and the other one most likely Dean Ambrose against Seth Rollins. Now, obviously, the question would be, if those end up being the matches, if they do a John Cena-Dean Ambrose match, and somehow Dean Ambrose wins to get the shot at Seth Rollins, which match goes on last? Seth Rollins is in storyline here the prize, since both guys want to get a hold of him. But, of course, John Cena is the big star. So is it possible that they would do that series and then put the John Cena-Randy Orton match last on the show? I don't think so, but anything is possible. We're going to talk about this and so much more after the break, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, talking all of the news in wrestling and mixed martial arts. And Mike, what is happening today?
A lot of football, but I know you have no interest in that whatsoever. And
none.
In fact, we should probably stay away from real sports altogether, quote-unquote, anything that does not take place on a canvas mat, because being a Nationals fan after the last 2 days, I'm in pain.
Now, I don't know anything about sports, Mike. What are the Nationals? Is that a baseball team?
Yes, the Washington Nationals.
Washington.
This was the team for all of you non-baseball fans last night who tried to watch the UFC. They were half of the group that was taking up all of your airtime.
I see. That's right. If you tried to watch UFC last night, everybody, you're probably well aware, as I ended up being well aware, if you try to DVR the show, that there was a baseball game on FS2, and the baseball game ended up going long. And by long, I mean 18 innings, correct?
Yes, indeed. 6.5 hours.
That's right. I missed the entire UFC show, save for the semi-main and the main event, which I did end up being able to watch. But I guess that was like a historic game. At least a historic game took over from my UFC viewing.
Yeah, and in fact, a lot of the baseball people, because immediately, you know, they went right out of throwing it back to the studio, and they brought up the UFC graphic that said, you know, this is the most exciting sport in the history of sports. Viewer discretion is advised. And a couple of the baseball people were chuckling about that, obviously with baseball's history and how. It wasn't an exciting game if you like hitting, but if you like pitching and you like defense, it was certainly a great game.
Yeah, it was funny because I know like real sports, this thing happens, games go into overtime and that sort of thing, but it was just kind of weird because the game is going long, and so first they kept the show going on FS2. And then later, when the game just kept going, they moved the entire UFC event and they preempted everything on FX. I've never even heard of anything like this before. I presume it happens all the time in sports, but It was really weird.
Even by sports standards, this was something else. I mean, it'll happen with the basketball during March Madness. It'll happen. There's lots of things that you know, things will move around sometimes where it may go from CBS to True TV or something like that. But this was almost unprecedented in what the UFC had to do and what Fox ended up having to do. It's another, for those people who say, you know, wonder why, you know, the sports rights fees are through the roof when it comes to TV. And there's so many people out there to go, sports is DVD. VR proof live sports. Well, this is one of the reasons why.
So there were two UFCs last night, and what did you think? I mean, let me try and get this straight, because you sent me a text right before we went on the air. Two UFCs, you were a baseball fan. What did you end up watching, and what did you end up not watching?
I ended up watching the top four fights from Stockholm. And that was the day show. And you know, I just kind of like probably everybody else who was a Nationals fan who also likes fighting, I was going to watch the game and figure, okay, you got 3.5 hours there. I'll be able to catch the entire Halifax show, because really the game was supposed to end before those preliminaries were even on. So I figured I'd catch the Halifax show at the end of the night, just check out the Stockholm show, what I missed there, and go to bed. Well, the game didn't get over till it was, you know, around midnight. So I was able to, and I didn't get a chance to see Asuncio and Caraway, which was coming on. But I did see McDonald knock out Trixafadine. And then this morning, I was able to see the top four shows, top four bouts from Stockholm. And listening to what you had said about the show with Dave last night on the show you guys did, and seeing what some people had written about, it didn't seem like I missed too much on the Halifax show. And in catching most of the fights on the Stockholm show was probably your best bet, which was only on Fight Pass.
Yeah, neither of them were like exceptional shows or anything like that. The Rory McDonald Tarek Safadine fight. I mean, Rory McDonald now probably in line for a welterweight title match. He beat him in 1:28 of the third round. Didn't really look all that impressive. I mean, if you were a baseball fan and you stuck around for the entire baseball game and then watched the UFC. Don't know if you became a new fan as a result of it. Kind of just like a fight. Rafael Asuncao and Brian Caraway, same sort of deal. I mean, this was almost like a sparring match. Like they both went in there and they took each other down, but didn't really put each other in any danger on the ground. They beat each other up on the feet, but didn't beat each other up that bad. I mean, Caraway's face was all busted open, but he was never close to being finished or anything like that. And it was just a unanimous decision for Asuncao. Like, neither of the people that won when the show was over, you were like, man, I've really got to see this guy fight again. So that was the Halifax show. And then for the show in Sweden, bad night if you were a local guy. Everybody on the show that was local ended up getting defeated, at least on the main card. Akira Korsani got beat in 1 minute, 3 minutes and 11 seconds of the first round. Ilir Latifi got defeated in 1:58 of the first round. Nicholas Backstrom got defeated in 1:19 of the first round. So it was like a terrible night if you were a local guy. And then the main event, Gunnar Nelson and Rick Story, it was a split decision, but I don't know who gave it to Gunnar Nelson, but I thought that he got maybe one round. And the rest of the fight, I thought, was all Rick's story. So overall, just like a night of fights, nothing really exceptional, at least on the main shows. Apparently, there was I think it was on the Halifax show. Albert Tumanov had a spectacular knockout of Matt Dwyer. But really, other than that, just nothing really to write home about.
Yeah, and in fact, you'd probably have to have Fight Pass to see what was said to be the best fight off the Stockholm show, which was Dennis Seaver defeating Charles Rosa in a featherweight fight. That actually was the thing that won Fight of the Night. And, you know, on the main show, at least, you know, it's obviously you're running two shows a night, and it doesn't really matter. I mean, if you were to put the names on the Stockholm show, on the FX show, or on the Fox show, you could make a complaint of why nobody would want to see that. Nobody knows these names anyway, but people do respond to knockouts if you're not a fight fan and you don't know, you know, you're not looking for technique or anything like that. And there were plenty of those, at least on the Stockholm show, probably the most impressive being Max Holloway's knockout of Korsani. At his age, at 22 years old, just he looked fantastic. He looked really good. Nicholas Backstrom was literally knocked batty by Mike Wilkinson of England. Backstrom tried to come up to him after the fight and interfere with his interview time, saying it was effed up. I don't know.
That's not very nice.
It wasn't. And the thing was, you know, he was delivering, you know, kicks to the front kicks to the face, but he was also leaving his hands down, and he connected on one, pushed Wilkinson up against the cage, who responded with a right hook that just knocked Backstrom cold. I mean, absolutely ice cold. And there were, you know, between Wilkinson and Khorasani's knockouts, they were both brutal. Ilir Latifi was another one, too, in the match that was third from the top, who was really knocked batty as well. So if nothing else on the Fight Pass show, you did get to see some pretty wicked knockouts.
You know, the most amazing thing really about last night was the idea that with those two shows over, it looks like we don't even have another UFC event until October 25th. It's kind of amazing, actually.
They run 75 fights in about 4 weeks and then take six off.
Oh, yeah. The October 25th show will be the Aldo Mendez 2 show. It's Jose Aldo and Chad Mendez for the featherweight title. Glover Teixeira is on the show. He'll be facing Phil Davis. Fabio Maldonado and Hans Stringer. Darren Elkins against Lucas Martins and Carlos Ferreira versus Benil Dariush. So that's the next show. We got 2 weeks before that one. So that's amazing, really. And actually, when is Hell in a Cell? Is that the same weekend? Let me find out here.
October 26th is Hell in a Cell.
So there you go. Look at that. We got no UFCs for 3 weeks, and then we got a UFC and a Hell in a Cell in the same weekend. So everybody gets a little bit of a break. Obviously, in there is the TNA Bound for Glory show. We're going to talk about that here on the show today. Quite the rigmarole on that show. But a lot of stuff, everybody. We'll be back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, talking all the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. And you heard the man. If you'd like to give us a call, 855-478-4478 is the number. That is 855-478-4478. If you're in your car and you're seeing a number on the dash to call that is not 855-478-4478, please do not call that number. Use this one instead, 855-478-4478. We are taking your phone calls on any topics, pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. And Mike, as I mentioned, we've got the WWE Hell in a Cell pay-per-view coming up. And it's always fun to go up and, you know, we're 3 weeks before the show here and we're looking for the card online. And there is no card. We've got nothing for the show, at least officially yet.
Do you remember when we used to talk about the old TNA pay-per-views when they were worth talking about and you'd go to Wikipedia for the lineup and you'd bring up the quote that they would always have up there about what professional wrestling is and what a professional wrestling card is? That's what we have for Hell in a Cell 3 weeks before the show.
Yeah, that's literally all they have here. It says Hell in a Cell will feature professional wrestling matches involving different wrestlers from pre-existing scripted feuds, plots and storylines that play out on WWE's primary television programs or on SmackDown. Wrestlers will portray heroes or villains as they follow a series of events that build tension and culminate in a wrestling match or a series of matches. Now, we don't even know that, honestly. I mean, we can presume, but let's go to the phone and see what people have on their mind today. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Nate from Tulsa. How you guys doing today?
What's going on, Nate?
Not much. Two quick things and I'll hop off and listen off air. First, my fiance will kill me if I don't ask. We were at a house show not too long ago, and wrestlers all seemed to be drenched, talking hair-wise. What do the wrestlers use in their hair? That's the first thing. Second thing, real quick, Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns both may conceivably be back for December. How would you handle bringing them back on television? Do you hold them both off to Royal Rumble? Do you bring one back and not the other? That's all I got. Thanks, you guys. Have a good one.
Hey, all right. Thank you very much for the call. I love when people ask about the hair. Everybody is always asking about the hair. You know what they put in their hair? Water. They just put water in their hair. That's it.
Well, I'm sure there's lots of baby oil, so you end up running your hands through your hair. That's getting in there, too. Gives it a slick look.
Well, maybe. But, I mean, if I went out to have a match, what people have to understand, especially at television, you know, it's the same thing to a degree at the house shows, but you're going to have a lot of lights on you, and the lights are very, very hot. And so if you went out there with dry hair and you had a match of let's say you have a 10-minute match, you know, by about 10 minutes, I mean, you're sweating a lot and your hair's probably going to start to get wet. So if you wet your hair down at the beginning of on your way out to the ring, you know, you've got wet hair and then all of a sudden the next thing you know, you're sweating. I mean, your hair can stay wet the whole time. I mean, when my hair was long, I just, you know, I took a water bottle backstage. I poured it all over my hair and I went out there, wrestled matches, and my hair was still wet when I was done. So
I'm sure you wouldn't want a bunch of product in your hair that would just run into your eyes when you're sweating anyway.
No, that's no good. It's no good. It's easiest to just put water in there. So, and as far as like the question of Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan, I mean, if it were me and I ran the company and I've got a WWE network and I'm trying to get people to sign up for the network, I mean, what I do is I say, hey, they're both coming back at the same time at the Royal Rumble. Daniel Bryan is going to be making his big return, and he's going to be going for the title that he never lost in the ring. He's going to be facing Brock Lesnar, and Roman Reigns is going to be an entrant in the Rumble. I mean, you could even do a deal where you have 29 men announced, and one of them is going to be a surprise, and everybody knows it's going to be Roman Reigns. But you have it be Roman Reigns anyway, you know? It's okay to have a surprise where everybody thinks they know what the surprise is, and then you deliver it to them, you know? And that's what I would do as far as their first... I mean, maybe you could do like a reintroduction on television or something, but, I mean, for their first big match back, I would do it at the Royal Rumble, and I would announce it in advance and try and sell a bunch of network subscriptions.
I'm almost okay with that. I still have a real concern over what could happen if both of them come back at the same time as we lead into Mania season, if they're dead set on Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar for the main event at WrestleMania. I think what you could also do is you could announce Reigns going to be back for the Rumble. Bryan could come back the next month after that, because isn't that Elimination Chamber? And then you have something built in where he's one of the six people in the match and maybe he doesn't win it. And then you go on to Reigns and Lesnar at WrestleMania, where Bryan has still never had his legitimate chance to have his one-on-one battle back for that belt. And you can have that because, again, who knows what could happen here. And I think Reigns is going to get over as a heroic star, but I'm not guaranteed of that yet. And having Reigns, again, what then happens after WrestleMania if Daniel Bryan's around? Will Roman Reigns be a de facto heel after that? So if, you know, you have to, I guess you're going to have to be careful to judge what the feeling and how the scene's going to be, because if nothing else, if you do it that way, you have Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns that can happen after WrestleMania with the guy the people want and the guy that, you know, that the authority would want, or if you go that direction.
Well, you know, the other thing is, you also have Dean Ambrose. You know, we're all talking about Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan, but, you know, until those guys come back, your top guy is going to be Dean Ambrose. And maybe the fans are going to decide that they want Dean Ambrose to be the guy that goes to WrestleMania. So you're actually going to have like a three-horse race during WrestleMania season.
And I'd be more for that if they have not, you know, booked people, especially guys like Daniel Bryan, in the way that they have. I can see them just looking at Dean Ambrose as placeholder and nothing else.
Well, they can look at whoever they want, but the fans are going to decide at WrestleMania season who they want to see where. And, you know, they can put anybody on top at WrestleMania that they want. That doesn't mean that that's where they're going for the future. Like, if they decide that they want to do a WrestleMania this year and the fans are just so behind Dean Ambrose, he can headline WrestleMania, and the next day they go back to Roman Reigns. It's exactly what they did with Daniel Bryan this year. You know,
that's absolutely correct.
It's not like Daniel Bryan headlined WrestleMania and then he was their guy. He was right back to being where he was after WrestleMania. So you can throw the fans a bone at WrestleMania and then go back to whatever your plans were. Let's go to the phones.
And the thing, too, also, just to throw in with both of those guys, you can have dream matches. Whoever's not going to be in the title match, you can have Daniel Bryan in there with, again, you know, you could actually, if you want to do Hideo Itami, I'm not saying that they should do this because, to me, Kenta, it'll take longer than, you know, but you could do something like that. Same thing with Roman Reigns. You can bring back somebody from the past to have him go head up with if you want to have Daniel Bryan in the main event.
All right, let's take this call. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Jim from Virginia.
What's happening, Jim?
Okay, I got a question. I'll let you settle a dispute for me. A friend of mine, we was talking about, you know, I liked it because Jessica Havoc and Gail Kim main evented on Impact this week. I said, well, at least Impact Wrestling does let the girls main event. He said, oh, WWE does too. I said, on Raw. I said, when's the last time you seen a main event on Raw?
Question, when's the last time we saw a main event on Raw involving the women?
I mean, do the Divas ever get that big of a match that they the main match on Raw?
No.
Decided to try to give you too many of them this week.
Why don't you ask this guy to just tell you the last time that there was a women's match main eventing on Raw? See what he has to say.
I asked him, and he said, oh, it happens all the time. I said, on SmackDown, too. I said, no.
This guy actually watched the program, or is he making this up?
Oh, he says he watches it.
By the way, I hate to tell you this, Jim, but your Havoc-Gail Kim match died. Died in the ratings.
It did. It went bad.
Oh, it was like a 0.72, lowest rated thing on the show by far. Yeah.
I watched it, you know, when I watched it, you know, it started off okay, but then again, I'm like you're saying, it wasn't the best thing I'd seen.
No.
And by far, you know, and it really surprised me. I thought they would have more chemistry together than that.
Well, you know, somebody had mentioned to me that, you know, Jessica Havoc is great when she's doing her style of match. And her style of match is like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but she does like a lot of hardcore wrestling, right?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah, so you're asking her to come into to TNA and work like a completely different style. I'm not really surprised that it wasn't working out for her.
Well, definitely, because she used to be part in the WSU, the main heel group of women. They were called the Midwest Militia. And that's about all they did was like hardcore type matches and jumping people and cage matches and all kind of stuff like that. Got another question. Have you ever heard of a lady wrestler named Tessa Blanchard?
Tessa,
yeah, Tully Blanchard's daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've really been impressed with a few things I've seen of her. I'd like to see a lot more. You know, she even comes to the ring with a remix of the old Four Horsemen theme.
I was unaware of that.
That I didn't know either.
I did not know that.
Yeah, but she's been doing, at the last Girls Night Out show they had, she really impressed a lot of people. And you know, I've seen some promos she's cut. She's pretty good. I think if, you know, barring injuries, you know, or, you know, some unforeseen circumstance, I think she could go a long way.
Have you been watching NXT? Actually, you know what? We got to head to a break, Jim. I'll talk more about this when we come back from the break. But thanks so much for the call today.
Okay, bye.
All right, thanks so much, everybody. Back in just a moment. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794. XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Of course, if you love this show, boy, have we got an opportunity for you. WrestlingObserver.com is the place to go for daily radio shows. I will be back later on tonight with Vinny. We're going to be doing a full show talking all sorts of different programs. We'll be doing SmackDown tonight. We'll be talking Total Divas as well as NXT. So all of that tonight on the program, only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. I'll be back with Dave tomorrow talking Raw. Dave and I were up last night with our weekend show. So many different programs. And not only that, but if you sign up, you have full access to every show that we have ever done. We have over 6,000 shows dating back to 2005 available in the archives. And if you sign up today for a long-term subscription, it is only $9.99 a month. So if you're a wrestling fan, there is no better value. So head up there today and sign up, WrestlingObserver.com. Should also mention that the new Death of WCW is out. It is shipping all over the world. Well, at least all over this country. It'll be shipping all over the world, I believe, in November. But it is my 10-year anniversary edition of Death of WCW. Myself and Artie Reynolds put it together. It is available right now, Amazon.com. You can order the hardcover, softcover, or Kindle editions. It's 40% bigger if you had the first Death of WCW and you loved it, I can pretty much guarantee you'll love the new and improved version. So head up there and check it out. It is shipping. If you ordered it, you've probably already got it if you live in this country. And if not, you'll be getting it very soon. And the Kindle editions are starting to show up as well. So head up there to Amazon.com. Death of WCW. And Mike, have you checked out the new book yet? Or do I owe you one?
See, I was still waiting on the copy you were going to send me. But if you don't send me a copy that's got a hardback on it, I'm going to just order one myself because I'm one of those book geeks that needs a hardcover. And I'm actually excited to check it out.
I hate to be that guy, but you may have to buy the hardcover. I got a very, very limited number of hardcovers. But I will get a soft cover out to you, Mike, not to be a cheapskate or anything like that.
With a long personal note attached?
Oh, yeah, I'll write a new novel in there for you. Don't worry.
Hey, you know, it's good for you, too, to hear about, I guess, some of the little bits that you've added or have already been incredibly well received. So that's nice to see about how TNA and WWE not exactly learning from the past on the 15th anniversary coming up of this.
That's right. All right, to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Where are you calling? Yes, this is Andrew from Houston, Texas.
Andrew, is that right?
Andrew? Yes.
Yeah, turn me off in the background and then go ahead.
Okay. Is that good?
Yeah, it sounds like you're unpacking or something like that.
Oh, no, I'm driving. I just have a bunch of stuff in my car.
I see. What's going on?
Yeah, I was wondering with the WWE Network nowadays, do you think there should ever be a chance of a truly good all-around pay-per-view, kind of like Money in the Bank 2011 or Canadian Stampede or something like that? Or are we just doomed to have another Raw on Sundays?
Well, given the fact that we see the same matches over and over again, I guess all you can hope for is that at some point down the road, we've got a period where a whole bunch of guys are having really good matches with each other, and then you make it that pay-per-view like six times in a row.
Yeah.
Listen, there's a lot of guys in developmental, like your Sami Zayn's and your Adrian Neville's and Hideo Itami, the former Kenta. I mean, when all these guys get on the main roster and Daniel Bryan comes back, I mean, you're going to have some really, really good matches.
That's what I'm looking forward to, just looking for a fresh new blood to be inserted into the WWE.
Yeah, it's coming. I don't know when, but it's coming.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, thanks so much for the call. Hey, we forgot to talk about the figure eight leg lock before when we came back from the break. Charlotte has got a new move. She is Ric Flair's daughter. And she has invented the figure eight leg lock, which is very similar. It's like an Indian, I guess it's like an Indian death lock. It's kind of like a figure four leg lock with a bridge. And I haven't seen it yet, but I saw a screen cap of it. And it is very wacky. But she is obviously claiming it is twice as good as her dad's figure four leg lock.
I can't believe it took him over 30 years to bring back the t-shirt that said, do it with Flair, that she's actually got now that they have NXT merchandise, which I'm not sure if people are aware of as well.
That's right, NXT merchandise. The phone lines are open, everybody. 855-478-4478 is the phone number if you want to give us a call. That is 855-478-4478. And we were doing a lot of talking about the non-existent card here for the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. And I guess if I looked at like what's been going on Raw lately, maybe I could start to piece together a card. But really, the best we have is the proposed tournament style match where Cena and Ambrose will be facing each other. And the winner of that match will get Seth Rollins. So the loser of that will get Randy Orton. And then as I was talking about when the show went on the air, the big question is, do they actually put on the Ambrose Rollins match last? Which I would presume they're going to do, but you never know. It is John Cena here. They may decide to put John Cena and Randy Orton on last, which I think would just be really dumb. Since really, of the two, that's the consolation match.
I can't foresee them doing that. I mean, this is where at least somebody would go, well, it's $9.99. No matter what the thought is of Cena has got to be in the main event, no way would they end up doing that. To me, that's... people would turn on it anyway. I mean, I would think live. I hate to say it, but it, to me, that wouldn't make any sense whatsoever. I think they would go ahead and do Rollins and Ambrose last. It's just a matter of how you finish that off, and then what do you do the next day leading into Survivor Series? Because I'm still under the thought that Randy Orton is probably – he's going to be somewhere in the mix, at least turning away from the Authority. They seem to be building towards that. To me, again, I know people say maybe too early, but – to do it in St. Louis where it may get the best response, that may be the best way to go, because I think no matter what, it's not the most exciting possibility to have out there. But also, as we talked about last week, no matter what happens, this is really good for Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins to kind of distance themselves from the pack. And I think no matter how bad some of these shows have been, and no matter how much Ambrose the Muppet happens way too often where he just kind of pops up, he seems to have been able to take the ball and really carry it so far. Obviously, it's still early, but I got a lot of faith in Dean Ambrose.
All right, let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's John from D.C.
John, what's up?
Hey, how's it going? I had a question about the Hall of Fame. Maybe I should ask Dave at this, but is there any thought of maybe switching or changing the voting to some degree for non-wrestling contributors? I was thinking specifically of Jesse Ventura and Gene Okerlund. Well, I think got to have to be in, but they seem to go up against guys you're debating their stats on. And there are no stats on guys like that. But it seems like, and they're going to drop off the list if they don't get 50% this year. Seems like that's a mistake to me.
So I'm not sure exactly. I think there has been
a change. I mean, it used to be you had an unlimited amount of guys from that division you could take. He has now taken it down to you can max out at 5, even if you're using your full 10 for the main part for non-wrestlers. He has cut it to 5. I'm not sure exactly though if they fall off as fast as you do with the baseball style of rules that we have, where after 15 years you're going to be off the ballot if you don't make a certain percentage.
Okay, I hope they work, because it looks like, I mean, you have to choose them amongst your 10, and the rest of it is the guys you can kind of debate their numbers on, and you can't debate numbers on people like that. But to me, they were incredibly important, particularly watching them on the network now. They just seem so great by comparison.
So you would vote for both of them into the Hall of Fame?
Particularly Jesse Ventura, but yeah, I think both of them, yeah. Hmm. It just seems like in the 80s, the boom period, those two guys were one of your, you know, 6 or 7 most important people in terms of the product overall.
Well, I tell you, there's always a lot of debate when it comes to the Hall of Fame, but there never seems to be the same amount of debate when it comes to the non-wrestlers. And I think when you look at the non-wrestlers list, the people who are on there, you can make a case for every single last one of them. You have promoters and Don Owen and Jerry Jarrett that are, you know, you can say are polarizing for different reasons. Don Owen always does well amongst wrestlers and peers because he was such a good guy. Jerry Jarrett, always been surprised he's not in, but you know, the fact that, you know, wrestlers had to be paid by Jerry Jarrett, they didn't necessarily, they don't feel the same way about him. But Mean Gene Okerlund, you have the Crocketts, both Jim Crockett Jr., Jim Crockett Sr., Jesse Ventura, Gene Okerlund, Dave Brown. I mean, these are all guys you can make a really strong case for that deserve to be in.
Yeah, and I was wondering if there's some way to separate them out, because you see all these articles about the research on different guys and their numbers and their stats and how much they drew. And it just seems like the argument is all about those guys, and the rest of those non-wrestlers seem to me to be huge contributors, and they kind of get left out.
Well, I mean, Ventura was, I mean, there are stats for him as well. I mean, are you...
Hey, he worked himself into becoming governor of Minnesota, for God's sake.
Yeah, I mean, do you count him becoming the governor of Minnesota when you're taking this into consideration? Are you looking at just his announcing career? Are you looking at the entire career put together? I mean, what are you looking at here, really?
I think the announcing career mostly, and also being able to talk yourself into governor of Minnesota helps, but just in terms of that 80s boom period, he was huge for that.
Yeah,
he took the Roddy Piper thing to me and then took it to a completely different level, being a full-time color heel announcer, and then he became the template that everybody else worked off of, the same way I believe Mean Gene Okerlund did as well, too, when it comes to stand-up interviews.
Yeah, and I just thought there was a huge drop-off when Jesse left the WWF. When he suddenly turned back in and it was Roddy Piper screaming or something like that, it just seemed like the drop-off was huge when he left. And particularly compared to anything you see now.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. Obviously, the voting period, we've got, I got a few days left. I haven't even finished my ballot yet, Mike. Have you had a chance to finish yours?
Yeah, actually, I did, and I sent it in.
Man, I only got a couple days left here.
I was struggling with it, too. I ended up going with a lot of what I went with last year and made a couple little slight changes on there. But, it's pretty, for me, there have been a lot of guys who I voted for who have been on there who have not made it in. The Assassins, the Andersons, Enrique Torres, Ivan Koloff. guys, the Sharp brothers, guys who have not been voted in. So I'm voting for them again, as well as a couple new ones. Minoru Suzuki was on the list this year. He went back onto the list, and I think he, Yuji Nagata, I think the entirety of their careers and what they've been able to do since the last time they were on the ballot, I think that they should go in. But there's going to be a lot of talk about this on the website leading into it, and a lot more of it leading out of it as well, too, because this is going to be a year that a lot of guys, because of the role changes, disappear from that list. Enrique Torres, as far as being an older guy who's going to have to probably go into the veterans committee into the to see if he may get in. But a guy like Dick Murdoch, who's been on there forever and has always been the gatekeeper to whether are you better than Dick Murdoch? Do you belong to into the Hall of Fame more than Dick Murdoch? It's going to be very interesting for him, because he could fall off the ballot for good, as well as the Assassins and the Andersons, who, if you lived in certain areas, would for a lot of people be no-brainers. And they're probably there's a chance, if they don't make it in, that they're going to be off.
Oh, man, someone's calling. We only got a couple seconds. We'll try. You're on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
John from Arkansas.
John, what's up?
Oh, nothing much. Just listening to the show. I was listening to Les and Victor on the site the other day, and they brought up an interesting point about weight limits. Do you think we'll ever see the time in WWE where we have traditional weight limits again?
Like cruiserweight division and heavyweight division, or what are you talking about?
Yeah, like that.
I would say, I mean, anything is possible, but I mean, they've really kind of moved away from that, so I would think it's probably pretty unlikely at this point.
You think it would be a better product if they incorporated those weight limits and traditional style rules back into it?
We can talk about this after the break. I want to thank you very much for the call. Mike, don't let me forget, we'll talk about weight limits more when we come back. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And we are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And Mikey was asking about a potential return of like a cruiserweight division or something like that in the future. And I don't know. It's possible, but they seem to have really moved beyond it. You know, it was really cool when WCW had a cruiserweight division, but I think it was mostly cool because like the cruiserweights were having a bunch of great matches. It wasn't like the cruiserweight division like really changed the business or anything like that. And I guess it would be good if you could
have a lot of older workers that would say change it for the worse because of the influence on the style.
Sure. If somebody knew how to do it, it might be cool to have a cruiserweight division. Like you could, you know, you could take some of the lighter weight guys and you could keep them in their own division. The division could have its own booker. You know, and but then you run into the problem of maybe the cruiserweight booker is a better booker than your main booker, your main story writer. And all of a sudden everyone's talking about how awesome the cruiserweights are as compared to the main guys. And then you know how that would end up. So I don't really think it's going to happen. WWE has tried it before and it's always ended up like it is right now. Non-existent, so it's possible.
You know, to me,
but
if they were to treat it seriously and actually, look, George St. Pierre was 170 pounds, he can kill you. You know, you're how much, and you can choke somebody out who's, you know, three times your size rather easily if they don't know what they're doing. If you treat it seriously, you could do it. It's just, with WWE, they built superstars, and again, it's not... To me, they could do it now because of the talent they have at NXT. I just don't think they will, and it's not something they're interested in.
All right, back in a moment after the top of the hour break, everybody. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for another hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We have Mike Sempervivi here on the line. And during the break, Mike, I was looking at the Wrestling Observer site, and Dave has put the daily update up, and I want to read this to you here. It says, Kevin Dunn is looking for an administrative assistant. According to the WWE job listing, the candidate should be highly trustworthy, loyal, hardworking professional who is team-oriented, agile, and intuitive. Were you aware agile? That agility is apparently one of the requirements to be an administrative assistant in WWE these days?
You have to dodge when things get thrown around a lot by either Kevin or Vince McMahon.
I guess so. Agile. Man.
Gets upset after a bad rating or a bad segment. Somebody flubs something or a light goes out or something like that. He goes hysterical, starts winging things around. You need somebody hot stepping out of the way.
You got to get out of the way.
But you got to be loyal, though, too, in case you get hit with something. Hey, have a little bit of a sense of humor about it and just take it for what it is. We still love you.
That's right. He also notes that we were talking about this last night. Somebody asked about a Jerry Lawler DVD. And in fact, WWE is in fact in the process of making a Jerry Lawler / Memphis DVD. So that's an update from last night. And those of you that remember the old Memphis territory, the old TV shows on Channel 5, well, you may have a DVD that you can look forward to from WWE in the future. When we come back from the break, everybody, we got a lot of news to get into, as always, here on a Sunday. And we're going to take your phone calls. If you want to give us a call, 855-478-4478. You can also contact me on Twitter at Brian Alvarez. Mike is at Semper Vivi. A lot of stuff coming up, everybody. Back in a moment. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. You heard the man, everybody. We're taking your phone calls here on Wrestling Observer Live. 855-478-4478 is the phone number. That is 855-478-4478. Give us a call today. Whatever is on your mind, pro wrestling or mixed martial arts, we are ready to talk about it here on the show. A lot of different things to talk about this weekend, Mike. The Impact show this past Thursday night, as noted, was headlined by Gail Kim and Havoc. Havoc won the TNA Knockouts title. And we had the caller, Jim in Virginia, asking about the last time that Divas main evented a WWE Raw show. And Ed in San Antonio, of all people, notes right here that the last time two Divas main evented, it was Trish versus Lita, and Lita scorpioned herself on a tope. He actually wrote a topa, which I don't even know what that is. But do you remember that match? I remember the scorpion. It was brutal.
I kind of, sort of. For some reason, I just immediately thought, what was the last Cruiserweight match that was main event? It was Mysterio and Matt Hardy for the Cruiserweight title. But for some reason, Trish and Lita, they had a bunch of good ones. But for some reason, that's not sticking in my mind.
Hey, you're going to see some Cruiserweight matches coming up pretty soon when Jamie Noble and Joey Mercury are back working again, which is in the books, everybody. So you can get ready for that. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
What's up, Brian? It's Eric in Chicago.
What's up, Eric?
Hey, I got a few things to say about this past Monday's Raw, as I was there live in the building. First off, I want to talk about the opening segment right quick.
I don't even remember what it was. What was the opening segment?
I like the idea of how Triple H was putting over the Money in the Bank as the new title. Also, I don't think I like the idea of having the champion off TV for 3 months. And you know as well as I do, Brian, I think it's in the back of everybody's minds, but I haven't heard anybody said it yet. How can Seth Rollins really cash in if the champion's never there? You know what I mean?
Well, that is a good question. I don't have an answer for you.
Well, in a way, if you want to, you could spin that into a positive and go, well, he's got it. And somebody like Brock Lesnar, who's not there, when he is there, much like at the last pay-per-view, it will draw some intrigue over, is this going to be the time that Rollins cashes that thing in? Because it, you know, with Money in the Bank, when somebody's got it, or you know, when somebody that people really are behind have it, or they've got a good story going on with it, it's great. At other times, it's just a piece of luggage that's being carried around. It gets teased a lot, but then nothing ever happens with it, and they don't really have cohesive storylines sometimes with it, so it just happens to be there. So you could spin this around and take this as a positive that anytime Lesnar and Rollins are in the same place, you know, you might get some action, which I thought they screwed up last week by not having Paulie come out. They you know, kind of redid it this week with Paulie coming out and then saying, you know, the next time something like this happens, you're not dealing with me, you're dealing with Brock Lesnar. So I think they could build some drama around it that way.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Also, on my second talking point here, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about the cartoony direction the show is going in. I think I heard you say something about Nickelodeon earlier this week, Brian. This show very well could have been on Nickelodeon for me. I mean, just with the slime.
Are you mad about the bunny?
The slime, but the bunny and the gator, even though it was mildly entertaining, I don't think I like the direction of it becoming more cartoony. And because you can't really get over the serious storylines like that when, like, Brock Lesnar comes out right after the, or Dean Ambrose perhaps, right after the bunny segment, it's kind of hard to take seriously. Do you feel the
well,
same way?
You know, here's the deal. First off,
well,
I didn't
they did tease a vibrator being in the Money in the Bank.
Yes, they did. They did. That's not PG. You know, I don't have any problem with the, I don't have any problem with the green slime. I mean, that was fine. I don't know what it
was. That was fine, but I think if John Cena would have done the same thing, people would have booed.
Yes, but John Cena didn't do it, so I don't have a huge problem with it. The bunny, I mean, maybe I should hate this bunny, but I don't hate it, and I think it's because the bunny could be anybody, you know? The bunny could be Kurt Angle. The bunny could be, which the bunny is not, by the way. But
I would surely hope so.
The bunny storyline could very easily, and I'm sure it will, lead to the bunny unmasking, and who knows who it's going to end up being. But it's not like they're trying to convince me that this is a real rabbit. You know, it's obviously a wrestler. It's obviously a wrestler who's very talented.
Not a real rabbit?
And it's in a dingbat storyline anyway. It's not even like it's a main event storyline. It's just in one of the random goofy story. I don't have any problem right now with the bunny. You know, if the bunny were involved with Brock,
for new eyeballs on the screen, like making new fans, it's a bad look. Like if I would have told somebody, hey, tune in to Raw.
Well, you know, hey, if you tell somebody to tune in to Raw, they're not tuning in for 3 hours.
Like, what is this show? You know what I'm saying?
I know what you mean, but
I just think it's too much in one show, maybe. Maybe it was just funny.
Well, that I can agree with, you know. Plus he had 3 Divas segments, so it was a bad show anyway.
Oh my God. I had to sit through it there live, Brian. It was torture.
I can imagine. Well, Eric, I want to thank you very much for the call. We got people calling like crazy, so thank you very much. And you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, Sammy from New Jersey.
What's up, Sammy?
Nothing. That's the way I look at what's going on. There's nothing going on.
Just Sammy, have you ever hidden a bunny costume?
I like that. Sammy is calling in just to tell us nothing's happening.
That's exactly my point. Nothing's happening. It just feels like, okay, football season's here. Let's just wait until January.
Dude, Sammy,
it's amazing how bad these Thursday night games have been. Now, granted, nothing was going to help Impact anyway, but Impact has got its lowest ratings that they've ever had being on Wednesday. Obviously, the decision was made to keep SmackDown on Friday by Sci-Fi for whatever reason. And obviously, the NFL is going to take a lot of eyeballs no matter what, but the state of the games on Thursday nights have been, you could watch 15 minutes, watch a quarter of that game, which essentially is about a half hour, 40 minutes of actual television time. And after that, you could turn it off and turn on anything because those games have been so bad.
Well, Sammy, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago that, I mean, I was specifically told that if you were not a big fan of Raw lately, you had at least 5 weeks of this. So I don't know. They're in a holding pattern. I don't really know why. Maybe they're just... you know, they're resigning themselves to the fact that it's football season, and right now everybody's going to be watching something else, and so, you know, there's no reason to kill ourselves here. So, I'm afraid...
A shame too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like...
When they were at their hottest in 97, 98, I mean, it's obviously they were competing with WCW, but they were putting on... They were fighting WCW and putting on the best possible show that they could, and they happened to thump football every week because
they didn't really thump it every week, but they did well.
I know, but
they did
better than they
are now. Yeah,
they took attention away from it because they were putting on the best show they could possibly could. This time around, they're just seeding that. We're going to get whipped anyway. Let's just try to catch people on the breaks. Which, you know, there is a mentality behind that. I just don't believe it's the right one to have. I think it's very. Again, they've done a lot when it comes to, you know, basically hurting themselves and these self-fulfilling prophecies that you talk about a lot. And they've really done a number on themselves that way, to me at least.
Listen, I wish it would be fun and exciting and new stuff happening every week. I don't know why they're resigning themselves to just being beaten by football. You should always try and do your best, but it's just kind of the mindset they have right now. This could change at any time. You know what I mean? Like Vince could wake up tomorrow and decide that he wants to crush football again. I don't know.
And I hope they do, because and look at what they've done with all the rest of their shows, with the exception of NXT. I mean, you can watch This Week in WWE and be completely fine with what happens on Raw, because what happens on Raw is then repeated on SmackDown, on Superstars, and on Main Event. And essentially, you only have to watch one show. And if you have Hulu, you only have to watch around 90 minutes of one show to really know what's going on. And then you have all of this dead time, which, again, when you're trying to build this network up and you're trying to draw interest and trying to draw up support for it, for what is a great deal. I mean, 6 months at $59.94 or whatever it is, you know, when you times that out, I just think they're making a big mistake.
All right, Sammy, we talked all over the whole time, so stand by and we'll pick you up again after the break. Sound good?
Sure.
All right, Wrestling Observer Live, everybody, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. All right, we're back here on the show, everybody. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And we had Sammy here on the line before the break. And Sammy, what more do you have to say today?
I honestly get more time and a lot more time value out of your site as a result of what they, you know, the entertainment I get of you guys picking apart their show than I do from their product itself. I put on the network for the first time probably in the last few days. Tried to watch NXT with my friend, but it was Charlotte and Bailey, and I don't know, it wasn't, I don't want to do today in certain ways, probably can't, but just the feel that was back then, maybe it was because of our age group, and people love wrestling for the age group of their teens and 20s, or maybe they're just stale, I don't know.
Well, I think that Kurt Angle and Shane McMahon was probably a lot better than Charlotte and Bailey.
Well, yes, but the product as a whole, the excitement as a whole, I mean, that was it could be a lot of us are just fantasizing about our time period when we were that age group. I bet you if you ask Dave what his favorite time was as a fan, he'd probably say in his teens and 20s. But that doesn't mean the product now is good or bad. I mean, ratings.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I mean, you could look back probably, you know, I'm sure you could find a period during the last year where you could look back and watch Raw and just go, man, this was great. I mean, the road to WrestleMania. What was that?
Build up to WrestleMania for sure.
Listen, here's the deal about fall. It comes every year, and football is going to be the most interesting thing to a lot of people. And no matter how many people are watching or not watching Raw during this period, when the Royal Rumble build begins, all of those people are going to come back like they do every single year. And it's going to be a hot period between January and April. And everybody's going to be really excited about wrestling. And I mean, listen, the show right now is boring. But, like, if you remember last year at this time when they were, like, doing all of this stuff with Daniel Bryan and they were making him look like such a geek. And it was just, like, that was, like, bad booking to make a guy seem to be just it was sad watching it, and that to me is worse. Maybe it's not worse. I don't know. For entertainment purposes of this radio show, maybe that's better. But I mean, as a fan, you know, like Raw is boring, but it's not like you're miserable. It's not like you get mad at it. It's not like you think it's stupid and counterproductive. Todd has argued this many times. He'd rather watch a boring show than like a self-destructive show. And I don't think the show right now is self-destructive. It's just you're missing a lot of guys. You're missing Brian. You're missing Roman. You're missing all of these guys. And it's football season. They're not trying as hard. But you know what? Those guys are going to come back in January. Reigns will be back. Brian's going to be back. It's going to be all of their, you know, Brock will be back. They'll be working hard towards Mania. And, you know, you'll look back on this call and you'll forget all about it, quite frankly.
I'm sure
that's at least the hope. You know, Ambrose will be better seasoned. Rollins will be better seasoned. Yeah, you'll still have Cena there, but then you hopefully, again, as it leads towards Mania and then out of Mania, you may get to see, God knows, Kevin Steen, Kenta, Sami Zayn, Adrian Neville, Charlotte, those types of people come up to the main roster. So hopefully that's the case. As far as looking back, and I think Dave has said this, and I certainly believe this. The wrestling that you grew up with is probably the greatest wrestling you've seen all time, all your life. I kind of see it on the board now. I'm older. I'm 38. I lived through the 80s and became a fan in the early 80s and have stayed there ever since. And I see people watching the network going, my God, these matches from 1980 that go on for 45 minutes. How could anybody watch this? This is boring. This is slow. Well, when that's all you know and you love that, that's what you came up with. That's what you're always going to love. So I think no matter how old you get, what you had when you were a kid, if it happened to be good and you really got into it then, I think you carry that with you forever.
Well, now, I grew up in the late 80s, early 90s, and so I have to disagree. It's way better now.
I disagree.
Oh, Mike, come on. It's way better now. I mean, there was some cool stuff, but geez. I grew up on Dino Bravo against the Ultimate Warrior, for crying out loud. I could watch that now. I'd be embarrassed.
Well, I'll say this. I got to be honest. I've been doing a Pro Wrestling USA thing.
By the way, thanks, Sammy. We got to let you go, Sammy, but thanks for the call.
And looking at looking at that time where I was a little kid watching this stuff, and, you know, it wasn't as bad as I, looking back, that it was, but I was also, again, it depends on where you were from, too. I was lucky enough to get a lot of different programming. So to see the Four Horsemen and Barry Windham and the Rock and Roll Express and the Midnight Express and having so much access and growing up with Mid-South and Crockett, it was a little bit of a different story because I didn't like the WWF. Now, my brother did. He was 5 years younger. He took to a lot of those characters that were more cartoonish. But while he was upstairs watching WrestleMania 5, I was downstairs watching The Clash of the Champions. So again, there is a lot of things now that are much, much better when it comes to interviews, when it comes to aesthetics, all that sort of stuff.
No, I don't know about interviews. I disagree on the interviews. I'd rather have the Nitro style where, you know, the guys came out and they talked for, I don't know, 30 seconds, got their point across, match for next week, and away we go.
But they also had a lot of bad interviews, and I think we've talked about this. There's a lot of romanticized interviews from the past. Not everybody was Dusty Rhodes, Superstar Graham, or Ric Flair. There were a lot of, you know, Rick McGraws and some really bad promos.
Well, yeah, but those guys, when they did their interview, they were talking for, like, what, you know, 30 seconds? It wasn't like they were, you know, if you got a guy who's not a very good interview, and I actually think that Seth Rollins is a really good interview, but there was an interview that he did a while back, and it was just like, it was a terribly scripted interview. It was so unlike anything that he would say, and he was out there for like 10 minutes, and it was like, oh my God, this is just like television death. Like, when it's bad for a long time now. At least back then, if something was bad, it was like, you know, how bad can something be on Nitro? You only got an hour. You know what I mean? Now,
it's so troubling. You know, like your Tom Pritchards and now Bill DeMott, you know, those guys were taught to adapt on the fly. And it's unfortunate that they don't let these guys do that because Stephanie can do it. Triple H can do it. But I think there's a lot of times where people are going to get through that script no matter what. And they're not going to vary and be able to feel the crowd to change it up and be able to improv because they don't want them to do that. And that's, again, that's very troubling, too. They want all these guys to be actors, yet they don't send them to improv classes or acting classes. And if they are, they're not doing it as much as they should, because if they want these guys to run through these canned lines, you got to teach them how to do it, and they're not doing a very good job with that at all. And like you said, when it comes to Rollins, a couple times I've thought that he has come across terribly, and I hope they don't do that with Ambrose. He seems to be carrying his lines okay, but they give you so much garbage to work with sometimes. It's just, it's tough.
Hey, let me say something positive, by the way, about this football season, or potentially positive. If you look at like a wrestling match, like a really good wrestling match, it's very difficult to do a wrestling match that is like really, really exciting from the opening bell to the closing bell, like all action. It's very difficult. You couldn't, like, if you did a 3-hour show and you had 8 matches, there's no way that you could make every single match nonstop action from start to finish. You'd burn out the crowd. You know, when you watch a really good match, there's like an ebb and a flow to it. There's a lot of excitement. You bring the crowd up, and then you bring the crowd down a little bit, and you build some anticipation, and you build the crowd up again. That's how you structure like a good match or anything, a good drama, you know, your favorite TV show over a season. You know, there's times when you got to bring them up. There's times when you got to bring them down. This is like real old school stuff. So wrestling, unlike football and baseball and all of these other sports, wrestling does not have a an off season. You know, wrestling is 365 days a year. Well, maybe not 365, but it seems that way with all the television.
Hey, at least 52 weeks a year.
52 weeks a year, twice a year. It's always wrestling season. And if the hottest period of the year for you is January through April, your WrestleMania season, and the prior 3 months is the period where, you know, you're going head-to-head every week with Monday Night Football, maybe it's not the worst thing in the world to have a 3 or 4 month period during the fall where, you know, you don't necessarily need to do bad programming, obviously, but you can kind of like bring the people down in the sense that you just kind of get in a holding pattern. You put your show on television. Every now and then you give them a big match. But in general, it's kind of a holding pattern period to set up this big, exciting 3 month period that is your WrestleMania season. There's too much programming for it to be exciting and captivating and you know, bell to bell action and angles and excitement every week. You can't do it like that. You know, I think that it's not the end of the world to have this period every year where things kind of slow down a little bit. You know, your fans may watch a little bit of football. You know, they're missing a little, but they ain't missing a lot. And then in January, when football season starts to wind down, and now, hey, it's WrestleMania season, those people are always going to come back. They do it every single year. So I don't think it's the end of the world to structure it like that.
I don't think so either. I mean, you have kids going back to school who they cater to. You have the holidays. You have a lot of different things that are taking up people's time. And to do something like that, maybe really push those pay-per-views as being big deals where you might get a Lesnar or Cena or Orton or somebody like that, but cycle out some guys so they get some time off. You get some new blood in there, kind of filling the void and slowing things down a little bit. As long as you have something, you know, once a month that's a big deal, I think that's a great idea, and it would give you a chance to for some of these guys to heal up a little bit.
All right, stand by, Mike. We got to head to a break. Back in a moment, Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. As noted, call right now, 855-478-4478. For some reason, everybody decides they want to call right before we go to break. And if that happens, we're not going to pick up the phone because we're going to break. So we are off a break. So now would be a great time to call, 855-478-4478. By the way, later on tonight, another brand new radio show is coming up on the website. I'll be up with Vinny talking Total Divas, SmackDown, and NXT. Only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. So sign up today. You'll get not only all of the new shows, but every show that we've ever done dating back to 2005 is available in the archive. If you love Wrestling Observer Live and you only get to hear once a week, you are missing out. All of these shows you could be listening to every single day on the way to work. It is amazing. Never run out of wrestling audio. So check out WrestlingObserver.com and join the fun. You'll get a brand new show coming up tonight. And don't forget Amazon.com. Death of WCW is available right now. If you want to head up and check that out, it is my newly released 10-year anniversary edition of, as it says on the cover, the classic. That's right. So check that out at Amazon.com. Hardcover, softcover, and Kindle. Shipping all around the world soon, everybody. And plug the replay as well when we take this phone call. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's the Scarlet Lover.
Scarlet Lover, what's up?
Hey, not much. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing great.
Good, good.
Mike, hey, how are you doing over there?
You know what? I'm satisfied, although, you know, the Baltimore Orioles are now in the American League Championship Series, and those fans have been very, very mean to us Nationals fans, so I'm upset about that.
All righty.
Hey, I was wondering if you guys thought that there would be any chance that Raw would ever go back to 2 hours within the next 5 years.
Nope. Well, okay, when you say next 5 years, they got a 3-year contract, so it's not happening anytime in the next 3 years.
And I got to be honest, and you know, it should, but realistically, unless something really bottoms out, if USA is satisfied with it, you know it's going to stay 3 hours. And it's not good for the product, especially times right now where things are not clicking on all cylinders. But as long as TV has got the final say in that, it's going to be 3 hours. We just have to resign ourselves to that and hope that they, again, creatively can fill 3 hours much better than they have, especially like this past week.
Yeah, the issue is that they're making so much money going to 3 hours that it doesn't really make any sense to cut back to two. And if they, if they're making all this money for a 3 hour show, I mean, they're not just going to willingly go to 2 hours. The only chance it's going back to two, I think, is if the 3 year deal expires and whoever wants to pick them up and offers them the best deal says, "Listen, we don't need 3 hours. You know, just give us 2 hours." But who is going to do that when you've already been providing 3 hours of content? I don't know. So I'm afraid we're stuck with 3 hours for probably quite a while.
It's amazing to think that they're making money. I'm not sure how the business works, but that they're making money off 3 hours. You know, I have no doubt. But at the same time, it's just...
They're making a lot of money off 3 hours.
Yeah, it baffles me because, like, I know there's no specific hour, but if you go back and you watch these 3 hours Raw and you want something quality, you have to go back and pick and choose and fast forward and rewind and all this stuff. And there's just so much garbage in it. It's like, do I really want to watch this? I mean, when Raw was 2 hours, I'll just go ahead and give an example. Without commercials, that was an hour and 20-minute show, you know, just like a movie. And if there was something bad in it, it didn't last too long. Now it's like, hey, we have 3 hours, you know, let's just fill it with bad stuff. And then, you know, and it's like, it kind of feels like the wrestling world, at least within itself on national television, is satisfied with whatever comes out. And as a fan, it's like, I'm not satisfied with it. Why should I put money towards it? You know, it's really exhausting and frustrating right now to watch Raw. And
You know what? I think inside the wrestling industry, they would be the first ones to tell you that they don't probably want to go any more than 2 hours. I mean, we always talk about that old Memphis thing, 90 minutes.
Oh, man, yeah, 90 minutes.
You know, and it really is. I mean, to be honest with you, I think that would be perfect. But, you know, the reality is anytime, almost to a person, anything over 2 hours is way too long, whether it be, you know, the workers or the writers or the production, any of those people, they all seem to say, yeah, it's way too long, but what can you do when they're paying you that much?
I'm just amazed that this has become such a big deal to everybody lately. Like, Raw's been 3 hours forever. And I guess it's like...
I've actually thought they've had worse times than now.
Yeah, you know? Like I said, it's not a bad period. It's just a boring period. And I think that because it's so boring... I mean, 3 hours of a boring show is just like brutality, and that's why everyone's talking about it right now. You know, when Raw goes to when it's WrestleMania season, I mean, if they're really hitting on all cylinders, we're not going to be getting calls every week about how Raw is too long. You know, it'll be just the right length if the show's good. The issue is that the show's boring right now. That's why everybody's calling and talking about how Raw is too long. It's been this long for years.
It's a fatigue within wrestling fans. When I think 3 hours, I think I could be out hanging and banging, you know.
Hanging and
doing
banging?
Something else.
What the hell were you hanging and banging on a Monday night at 11?
Looking for redheads, dude.
they're just out on the streets? How about that?
You know, doing the college thing.
I see.
Anyway, I'll let you guys go. Thanks for the call.
Hey, man. Thanks so much for the call. Hey, I should have kept him on. It was just getting interesting. It's way more interesting talking about all the redheads that are out on Monday nights at 11 o'clock than this Raw show.
I'm assuming Scarlett loved Lita.
Oh, man, we should have asked him. Remind me to ask him next time. By the way, it was noted that, yes, Trish and Mickey did main event a Raw. And also this past summer, they had that Stephanie McMahon Brie Bella angle, which closed out the show. So there's two examples
counts,
right there.
It?
What was that?
Does that count, though? Actually,
that
for a friend
angle.
Of Jim's, that may count, so we'll have to find out from him.
Yeah, him calling back. Apparently, some other news here. The Bunny has a T-shirt coming soon, so Avery can get his hands on that. Sure he'll be very excited. And that's all of the news for right now.
Who do you think the Bunny will be?
Who do I think it'll be? I think it's going to be Sami Zayn.
I hope it is. Because I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and see how much him and Adam Rose worked together, especially when Adam Rose was Leo Kruger down in NXT. But I guess that would be a way to get him in. I'm not exactly sure if that's the way I would want him to get in.
The only reason that I don't want it to be Sami Zayn is that he would be debuting in a geek angle.
I mean, why not Justin Gabriel? And then you could have, like, it's a battle of South Africa between the two or something. I don't know.
Actually, I think it is Justin Gabriel.
That would actually make the most sense. I know a lot of people have kind of wondered who it could be, but, you know, Gabriel still is traveling around on the roster. I mean, it's him. Tyson Kidd's a possibility, although I don't think it's him. I think it's Gabriel, but that actually makes the most sense. Whether that's actually him when it's time for the reveal is completely different.
Yeah, I know somebody had sent some side-by-side comparisons, and the bunny was doing, like, some of his stuff off the top, and I think it was a big splash that the bunny did, and there was one other thing as well. Oh, it was a jumping back kick, and they had compared that to, what's his face that we were just talking about, and same guy.
Justin Gabriel.
Justin Gabriel, that's right, same guy. So I think that Justin is playing the bunny, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's who the bunny's going to end up being. So
the bunny could be Darren Young. The bunny could be Kevin Steen. Actually, the bunny will not be Kevin Steen.
I think it'd be awesome if they unmasked the bunny and it was Kevin Steen. I don't know how they'd pull
unless the bunny goes on a kill crazy rampage. I don't know if you want to do that one.
Yeah. So what else do we have in wrestling news?
You're not getting jacked up for Bound for Glory?
I was actually going to talk about that. This was the week that TNA was supposed to be off the air. You know that? The contract with Spike TV is up. And were it not for the fact that Spike TV was nice enough to allow them to stick around, they would be history right now. So I don't know what it means for the future. I was watching Impact on Thursday, and the thing about the show was, it was like, it was so depressing watching this show. There was no one there. I think they drew, like, I don't know, 250 fans. And
these were shows they had taped in, what, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania?
Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Most of them during the week.
Yeah, and so I was just watching it, and it was kind of like, oh, man, first it's depressing. And then you think about, okay, well, what happens if they sign, like, a new television deal? And they go to CMT, Country Music Television, and they've got this new deal for Wednesday nights or whatever. I don't know what they're going to do. What does that even mean? Like, they are doing 250 fans for a television taping. And I know it was on a Tuesday, but you know what else is on Tuesday is SmackDown tapings. And SmackDown is drawing a hell of a lot more than 200 people. You know, this is a company that, on a good day, you can get maybe, what, 900 people there? On a bad day, you're getting 200? And if they sign a new TV deal, what does that even mean? Like, what are they going to be? Is it just going to be like another year of watching 200 people in an empty building, watching these guys do matches on a Wednesday night? I mean, it's I don't know. I don't want to say that they should just give it up because we need another wrestling company. It's not good to have just like one major wrestling organization. But, I mean, this thing ain't turning around.
Well, I mean, sell it to somebody in the UK or move operations to the UK and do it there and tape it there. If you're going to be on a station here with minimal impact, no pun intended. And again, I don't know if they're even as high as WGN or something like that. But if you're on a small network anyway, you at least get people who go to the shows in England. Maybe there's somebody there who takes a depleted roster and then you just kind of go from there because, like you're saying, I don't know.
Yeah, but is Country Music Television going to sign a deal for a promotion that's going to be operating out of England?
But I would think Country Music Television would also look more towards global or, you know, whatever Jarrett's deal is. And again, why would it go from one Viacom property if Spike doesn't want it to another one like CMT where,
I don't know.
Again,
maybe
you're
going
to be dead
needs
in the water
it.
Anyway.
Maybe CMT needs those million viewers. I don't know. I don't follow CMT. But
I just for some reason I see them being on CMT being a thing where it's like, you know, anything that was on MTV2 or something like that where you may get one, maybe even two quote unquote seasons out of it, and then they're going to be done with it.
Yeah, I don't know what to do. It's just like, I mean, the only way that this thing is going to turn around, and not even turn around, the only way it's going to stabilize at like a non-depressing level is if they have like a big influx of cash. And the impression I'm getting is that even if they sign a television deal, I don't see any of these deals being as lucrative as the one they got right now with Spike TV. So what is that? What does that get them? You know what I mean? They'll end up being either like at the level of Ring of Honor, or they'll be at a lower level than Ring of Honor. And that's, I don't know. I mean, it's good that the guys will have a place to work, but even when you talk about how you want more than one place for everybody to work, I mean, when you think about a lot of these wrestlers and how much they're making in TNA, I mean, it's not like they're making full-time, you know, lucrative livings here. I mean, we're talking about they've got a weekend gig where they wrestle. You know, a lot of these guys, especially right now, it's just they're not making any money here. So, I don't know. We'll talk about this more and come back from the break, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, along with Mike Sempervivi. It is Wrestling Observer Live. And man, what a sad show it's been today, Mike. Everyone's talking about how they don't like Raw. TNA is dying. Kind of depressing, actually. But you know what's good news, Mike, is I'm up here on Amazon.com, and number one in wrestling is the death of WCW. It's actually number 1, 3, and 9, because there's so many different versions of the book. And we are currently beating out Chris Jericho's book, which comes out the same day. He's number 2 right now. Two of us have been battling back and forth for that number 1 spot. So I take that as a good sign. I do as well.
And you know what? When times are bad and when the product sometimes on your screen is not the best that it could be, it will push a wrestling fan into many other things, including YouTube for old matches, books like yours, and other things. So all hope cannot be lost.
Hey, the death of WCW is not a, well, it is a depressing book, but the idea is it's also supposed to be an entertaining book. There's a lot of funny stuff.
Very funny.
Yeah, that's the idea behind it. And supposed to be the idea behind radio shows as well. I mean, it's still supposed to be an entertaining show, even though some of the stuff that we talk about is depressing. So
we need more sound effects.
You know, I'm thinking of bringing the drop board onto this show, but the only problem is so many of the songs we got are rife with profanity.
Just get the Vince McMahon one where he said he felt gnarly. I want to have that drop back on there. I feel gnarly.
Oh, the Monster Mash? I'll play the Monster Mash here on the show. I'll check it for profanity, and if it passes the test, I'll play it on the show as we lead into Halloween. All right, everybody, we are completely out of time. Don't forget, later on tonight for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com, myself and Vinny are going to be up talking SmackDown, as well as NXT and Total Divas with Wang. All coming up tonight on the show. Thanks, as always, to Mike and Scott, everybody at Sports Byline. And, of course, all of you, the listeners, as well. We'll talk to you again next week listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.